There, do you have any idea what you're listening to?
London Philharmonic?
It's Venus.
Huh?
Venus.
Why not? We bounced signals off the moon's surface. There's no reason that Venus shouldn't radiate impulses.
I don't mean the static. Can't you hear it, the other thing?
What other thing?
Listen to it, Paul. Listen to the voice.
Hello and welcome to Media Geek. This is your look at the world of grassroots, independent media, and our media environment. My name is Paul Reisman, and I'm your host. With me across the studio is producer Drew Tirico. On today's program, unlicensed radio and the FCC's ongoing crackdown. We'll be talking to the V-Man and Skidmark Bob with Freak Radio Santa Cruz, California, one of the longest operating unlicensed stations in the country. And they'll talk about their recent uninvited visit by two FCC agents. And then later on in the news, we'll talk about a few more stations in the country that were recently shut down and take a look at our media environment. So you do want to stay tuned. So, hello, on the line, we should have the V-Man and Skidmark Bob at Santa Cruz, Freak Radio Santa Cruz in Santa Cruz, California. Hello, guys. Up, I got to hit this.
Here we go.
There we go. Okay, we're on the line, I hope. Hello, is this V-Man and Skidmark Bob?
Hello, this is V-Man.
This is Skidmark Bob. How's it going?
It's going pretty good. How's it going there in Santa Cruz?
It's a nice, sunny, slightly cloudy and windy day, but it's beautiful. It's nice.
It's an FCC-free day.
Well, let's get right to it then. I guess it was on Thursday, May 13th, when a couple of FCC agents decided to visit your new studio.
That's right. We were in here. We've only been in our new studios for about 5 days at the time of the visit. We recently had a transition to a new home and a new spot on the FM dial after 9 years of operating at 96.3 FM in the Santa Cruz area. We reluctantly moved to the right, if you will, to 101.1 on the FM dial due to the licensing of Air One, which is a cookie-cutter chain of Christian rock hit radio. That's who got, they got granted a license for a 10-watt repeater on our frequency, so we decided that the time was nigh to move off 96.3, and 101 seemed like the best spot for us, and coincidentally, we had to vacate our current, or our former studios anyway, due to a landlord issue, wanting to basically just rebuild the house. So we had to move, and we figured we might as well just do the whole move all at once. And here we were 5 days into it and assembling our new studios when the knock came. And I was here with a couple other programmers. Skidmark, who's with us tonight today on the radio, was in the studio, and another DJ here, Uncle Dennis, was here. And we were just kind of discussing the new studio layout when we heard the knock from afar, and a voice said, you know, hello. And so I said to Dennis, well, what do you think? Should I go look? And he seemed to think it was okay, that this, you know, it was probably just for someone else. But I'm kind of a paranoid person, and I guess it really does pay to be paranoid, So I went outside, and sure enough, there was Agent David Dune and David Hartshorn from the Pleasanton Field Office in the driveway of our new residence.
Were you on the air at that time?
Absolutely. We're a 24-hour station,
even though you were sort of getting the station put together, you were on the air at that very moment.
Oh, yeah. We're on the air within about, 3 hours of when we went off the air on Saturday before.
The day we transitioned from 96.3 to 101, I think we were down about two or three hours. Yeah, I think.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it was more of a formality than a than a ceremonial switch. But nonetheless, they were there in the driveway, and I immediately, my initial reaction was to try to run back into the studio, but I was spotted, and so I didn't want to totally tip them off to our specific location. Mm-hmm. In the building. So I approached them, and they immediately wanted to know my legal name. You know, they knew what my legal name was, and they asked me if that's who I was. And I said, you know, who are you? And what do you want? And they identified themselves. They sort of fumbled through their pockets, and eventually, like, they pulled out their little FCC identifier badges, which I didn't really get a good look at. They just kind of flashed them. They were about 15 or 20 feet away, so it wasn't like I had an opportunity to hold it and inspect it and, you know, see it. But they sort of flashed it, and I have to say, Agent David Dune was rather rude from the beginning. He immediately just seized upon the opportunity to start trying to interrogate me. And I'm of the belief that, you know, the FCC are not, they're not like cops. They're not really, they don't have people skills. Mostly they're technicians, and they're the kind of people that they are, and they're not really there, you know, to interrogate. They don't really understand, like, how to have people skills. And so they just immediately start, you know, threatening me with $10,000 fine. I just immediately told them to get off the property. Just go. I'm not interested in anything you have to say. You know, I told them firmly, but I didn't, like, curse at them or anything, because I don't think that's too productive. But, I was pretty firm with them that I wasn't interested if they didn't have a warrant to seize the equipment or to search the property, that they had no business being there. And they eventually made their way through the driveway to the sidewalk, and that's when they started, I guess, photographing the antenna. I got ran back and got the other DJs, and Skidmark might want to pick it up at that point because he actually talked with the agents.
Yeah, V-Man grabbed our really lousy camera that we have, and we took a few shots, which is up at santacruz.indymedia.org if people want to check out the whole story there. And I have always carried my mini disc recorder just in case of different news and stuff that happens. And so I ran out there with my mini disc recorder and proceeded to ask them some questions, which at other visits we've asked, and they've refused to tell us, you know, anything at all. And I wanted to know right away if there was an interference complaint or anything, and they specifically said no. I actually recorded them saying no, there's no complaint. It's just that we're on the air illegally. That's the only reason, and I just wanted to make that clear with the FCC agents.
Right. You just change frequencies to avoid interfering with anyone.
Exactly. Actually, to avoid them from interfering with us.
Right. You were there first.
Yes, we were.
Squatter's right.
We've been on the air for 9 years. We're going into our 10th year of broadcast, and that Christian station came on, what, about a year ago or something?
Just about. They got their, what they did was they petitioned the FCC to move. They originally were on 95.9 FM for a long time, and they wanted to, for some reason, move up the dial, and 96.3 was the one they chose, coincidentally. You know, conspiracy theories abound.
So you've been on the air for 9 years. Have you been visited by FCC agents before?
Yeah. As a matter of fact, these two specific FCC agents, David Dune and David Hartshorn, I met in the very first visit we had back in 1995 in the back of 120 Campbell Street down in the Beach Flats area. And I did the same thing, drove them away. Of course, it was really hard for them to find a address because the house was pretty decrepit. Mm-hmm. But, those are the same two agents. They're a little bit older. And, yes, they do not have very good people skills. They're not used to being enforcement officers. So, it just gives people more reason to not be afraid of them if they're there by themselves. They're just two guys with clipboards and phones, and that's all they are. If they have U.S. Marshals and a SWAT team, then obviously they have a warrant, and they'll probably break down the door and take all our equipment away.
And you're listening to Media Geek right now. We're talking to Skidmark Bob, who was just speaking, and the V-Man from Freak Radio Santa Cruz in Santa Cruz, California, just recently visited by the Federal Communications Commission, and they've been on the air unlicensed for 9 years in the community of Santa Cruz. And maybe you could explain to our listeners what kind of station Freak Radio Santa Cruz is. You mentioned that you're on the air 24 hours a day. Is it like any old radio station, like any old commercial station, or do you run a little differently?
Well, we run much differently. First, we operate 24 hours a day, and I think it's in our mission now that free radio basically is on the airwaves in obvious defiance, willful disobedience, if you will, of FCC regulations to provide an alternative viewpoint to mainstream corporate media. We feel, for a number of years, Bob, you were there at the founding, and a lot of activists in this community just simply didn't have a voice. So people were able to, you know, get cheap equipment and seize the airwaves. And over the years, it's changed quite a bit. But, I mean, we've never really diverged from that original mission. I think it's just only grown and gotten better over the years, really. But maybe, Bob, you might want to comment a little more about our station.
Yeah, if we first started out through different social groups, mostly one of the groups, the main groups, is Food Not Bombs. We had organizers in Food Not Bombs that have, been, at the time, 95 in the mid-90s, Food Not Bombs, people were being arrested daily in San Francisco, and we'd go over there in solidarity and get arrested and hauled away. And then we had our own problems here in Santa Cruz, and they passed all these ordinances where people couldn't sit on the sidewalk. There are mass demonstrations around that, and we've kept finding continually that whatever we said to our mainstream media here, the little local Sentinel paper here, they would always misconstrue, and that was one of the main reasons why we started the station, is because of constantly our story not being able to be heard. And so we go out with tape recorders and record people and interview people here in studio. V-Man's got a great show called Rockin' a Boat every day where he's got people in here.
Yeah, we've listened to it. In fact, we've aired segments here on Media Geek. It's a great show.
Cool. Yeah, and there's a lot of other programmers here that are doing really hard work. And we've had people like the Needle Exchange people on here showing people how to clean their needles correctly and how to be safe where they can go to get answers, what's definitely not happening in a lot of the radio stations. And we have a lot of public stations here in Santa Cruz area.
I think our station also differs in the sense that everybody here has a stake in the station. I mean, people have worked hard to build this place, to construct the studio. People work hard daily to keep the different programs on. People that do quality programming here work hard on their shows. And, you know, this FCC visit, while myself and Skidmark Bob are named in the official paperwork that we received, the standard notice of unlicensed operation that we've filed with the other ones in the circular filing cabinet. But, people have asked me since then, do you feel like a bust is coming? Would you quit, or what would happen to free radio? And I think that is exactly the point. It is so many people. It is in the hearts and minds of so many people in this community and our listeners across the world on the internet as well. And that, you know, just the idea of free and open communication and Free Radio Santa Cruz is just an embodiment of that. So I think free radio, without myself or Skidmark Bob, would definitely continue. And I mean,
so you don't intend to back down then?
Absolutely not.
And, no, not at all.
And recently, I mean, I guess it was last fall, you actually got the support of the City Council of Santa Cruz behind
the
station.
For the second time.
For the second time.
Yeah, unprecedented. In fact, in 1999, when the FCC was still looking at the issue of licensing LPFM, they were still taking petitions. Our City Council, at the urging of our station, did put forth a resolution that they passed and sent to the FCC supporting our work in the community. And then in 2003, just in last summer, we were visited by the FCC at our old studio. And again, the Santa Cruz City Council unanimously passed a resolution supporting us, and they sent that to the FCC. We had hoped that they would urge the local police department from taking part in any eventual raid on our station. They didn't go that far, but they did, they did go on record as supporting our work in the community.
About how many volunteers do you have at the station?
I believe we're at about 25 or 30 at the moment.
Something like that.
All doing different types of programming and shows. Do you have people on air like 24 hours a day, or do you do some automated stuff?
Well, we start our broadcast day, really. I do a morning show from 7 to 8 a.m., and then in the morning time slots, we have Democracy Now! From 8 to 9 with Amy Goodman, and then at 9 a.m. every weekday, we have a different independently produced syndicated media program. We play Flashpoints one day, alternative radio with one day a week, Making Contact in Between the Lines back-to-back on another day, Sprouts Radio, The Shortwave Report, Counterspin, TUC Radio, these kinds of programs every day from 9 to 10. Then from 10 to noon, we have different live programming, mostly music or different people from the community that have shows. And again, at noon, we re-air Democracy Now!, and then throughout the day, We have, again, more live programming, and then we have our evening news blocks from 5 to 6. Is we play Free Speech Radio News, and then my show, Rockin' the Boat, which is an interview show. So all kinds of stuff. I mean, different Bob does, you know, he does a lot of audio mixes and collage work. So there's a lot of experimental stuff, too, in addition to news and information, and maybe Bob can talk more about some of that.
Yeah, we got a guy that, Robert Norris, he does a lot of homeless issues. He's out on the mall interviewing homeless people about the camping ban that's here where people can't sleep at night out in public. Like I said, we had needle exchange shows on. We got a guy that, a woman that talks about pornography and its effects on people. We got all sorts of different views and voices. We have Hobo Lee, who's in here. He's a train tramp. He jumps on trains. He travels around the country, comes back with all sorts of stories and music, and brings a bunch of hobos in here sometime and has the hobo music show once a week, which you'll probably never hear on any other radio station.
No, that's a really underserved minority, I think, truly. So
and we also have some bilingual programming mm-hmm. as well in the evening time slots, and a lot of like urban culture style shows. People come in here and freestyle and play hip-hop and that kind of thing and talk about issues that affect, you know, the communities of color in Santa Cruz. We have about 30 to 35% Latino population here. And we that's a community we need to reach out to more. But we do have a couple programmers that do bilingual shows as well.
Yeah, we have a programmer that does a show called Peace Talks, and she covers a lot of the Palestine and Israeli issues that hardly ever get covered. You know, even in the independent press.
Just got a couple minutes left, and I guess I want to know, I mean, are you operating with a lot of power, or are you operating a pretty low-power station?
About 30 watts, 30, maybe 35 watts.
So you're right now. Do you cover pretty much the city of Santa Cruz?
Yeah, and it's a small town. It's not very big, and we basically cover the city itself. We're having some problems right now with our transmitter, our stereo transmitter, and we're going to have to do some fixing. Because they're kind of near a hill, and you know, we don't have a lot of options on where all the rich people are on hills, I guess. And
FM, as you guys probably are well aware, FM, it's a lot of, it depends on your antenna location and the studio. And Santa Cruz, topographically, it's not an ideal place to put a radio station. I mean, we're a hilly town. If we could get up on one of the bluffs, we'd be doing good, but the majority of the people are sort of in a valley or a bowl in the city here, mm-hmm. so... It is kind of, we are having some technical problems at the moment with our new location, but we're working on it, and we hope to serve our community more, and we're trying to, you know, raise funds to have backup equipment in case of a bust, but we also can be heard online, too, so, you know, people can listen all over the world, for those of you who are out of our broadcast range.
Freakradio.org is our website.
Freakradio.org, and I guess in the last moment I have here, you guys both seem to put a lot of time into the station with V-Man. You're doing two shows a day. I know Skidmark Bob, you've got a lot of mixes going on. How do you find the time to do this?
Well, for myself, that's a good question. I'm a single parent, too, and I got a job and all that kind of fun stuff. And I don't know. I find the time. You know, I have a couple, like 2 days off, and I immerse myself into trying to find different music. I do a show called Pop Defect Radio, which I upload to radioforall.net and radio.indymedia and also santacruz.indymedia. And I'm always looking for conscious type music, political music. And I also do a thing called Commander in Chief Radio, where I find all these Bush mixes that are all over the place people are coming out with and try to put those together. And I find the time. I have a little mixer studio at home, and I do a lot of pre-production. And I'm in here on during the week on Tuesdays and do most of the programming, news programming come in. We both come in and do that, downloading programs and getting them on the air certain times.
Mm-hmm. And you, V-Man?
As for me, well, I will come out on record and saying I lived with Free Radio Santa Cruz at our old location for the last 5 years or so. And so it was real easy for me to do two daily shows there. For a while, it's become rather difficult over these last few weeks in my new home, which is about a mile and a half from the station. And I'm a bicycle rider, so at the moment I'm finding it rather difficult to have any free time at all. But I am pretty much, I mean, even if I give up one of my shows, which is looking like that's going to happen soon, I'm still going to be involved in the day-to-day here because, I'm just driven by a sense of urgency in these times that we're living in, and that I see more and more the impact that free and open access to the airwaves has for our listeners and for the people that produce radio. I mean, it gives me an avenue to be creative and to feel like I'm contributing to something to make the world a little bit of a better place, at least for the small people, you know, that I can affect within my realm of influence. And so, for me, that's why I continue to do it and why I will always find the time, despite intimidation or threats to shut us down or fine us or take us to court. You know, it just doesn't really impact me. What are they going to... I got nothing to begin with, so what are you going to take from me? I mean, I'm just some person who works, you know, a 40-hour week job, and I do this in my free time, like everybody here, and so that's where it's at. You know,
it's better than watching TV.
Yeah.
So thanks a lot, guys. I really appreciate it, and let's hope that this is just they're just keeping track of you and don't have anything in the wings. Are we on the air there right now?
Yes, you are. We're simulcasting this right now.
Very cool.
Can we get a station ID from you?
Sure. Hi, this is Paul Riesmandel with Media Geek, and you're listening to Freak Radio Santa Cruz.
Awesome.
How's that for a station ID?
That's great.
All live on the air here. And you're also listening to Media Geek here on our home station, WEFT, Champaign, Illinois, in 90.1 FM. I don't know. If you want, we can leave you on. We're going to do a couple news headlines coming up next, and we can leave you on the phone line, or you guys can go off and do your own thing. It's up to you.
Doesn't matter. Pretty open.
Okay. Because sure. I can leave you potted in the board here so that you get our
sure.
feed.
Sure.
All right. Well, thanks again, guys. And, of course, it's www.freakradio.org. V-Man and Skimart Bob, thanks a lot.
All right. Thank you.
And you are listening to Media Geek. Drew, I think we'll just jump right into the headlines here without any kind of a break.
That sounds fine.
The first thing here is actually we got more news about unlicensed broadcasters. Not good news, unfortunately. On Wednesday, May 20th, the FCC shut down a 24-hour Spanish-language station named El Sol, operating in central New Jersey. The station's operators, calling themselves the Moors, say that because they are members of indigenous American groups, the laws of the United States don't apply to them. According to a criminal complaint filed on behalf of the FCC, in January, a commission official asked the station to show its federal operating permit. A man who answered the door said the station was authorized under the Great Seal and offered a homemade document signed by Queen Ali. According to the FCC, the radio station was a subject of repeated complaints from other stations with the same and adjacent frequencies throughout the greater Philadelphia area. And a week earlier, on Wednesday, May 13th, the FCC shut down an unlicensed station operated by the alleged king of Chicago's Black Disciples street gang. The station's closure was part of a multi-jurisdictional raid on several locations believed to be part of the gang's drug-selling enterprise. Federal authorities alleged that the station was operated by Marvel J. Thompson, who also runs a recording studio and the MOB Records label. The station is accused of airing warnings to drug dealers associated with the Black Disciples, letting them know about police locations and movements. And that same day, which is also the day that the FCC agents visited Freak Radio Santa Cruz, so, boy, they were stretched thin at the FCC.
It was a busy day for the FCC
across the
boys
country.
That day.
The FCC conducted a raid on an unlicensed micropower station operated out of a mobile home owned by Burton James in Butte, Montana. His operation had been on the air for 3 years there, and James claims to have been an active micro-broadcaster for more than a decade in multiple states. He told the Montana Standard newspaper that he believes the federal government had no jurisdiction to conduct the raid, and that he had the right to broadcast under provision of federal law that allows unlicensed broadcasting during times of economic emergency and or declared war. James also is a candidate for public office in Butte, running for chief executive, with a platform that includes abolishing property taxes, returning to a currency based on hard silver and gold, and encouraging qualified citizens to openly carry firearms to reduce crime and protect the public peace. According to DIYmedia.net, which tracks FCC actions against unlicensed broadcasters, the commission has conducted 7 raids thus far during 2004 out of a total 25 actions, which includes visits to stations and fines. Almost half of these actions, a total of 11, happened in Florida, which is a hotbed of unlicensed activity. And I will go out here and make a quick comment that it's unfortunate in some cases that this is the sort of unlicensed broadcasting that makes the news, since I don't think that these folks are really an exemplar of a lot of what goes on with unlicensed broadcasting.
No, probably not. I think they're probably targets because they're sort of humorous news items, I think, that the media has been playing.
Well, and they do stand out a bit. Right. I mean, certainly an accused drug dealer and also a guy running for office in Butte, Montana, on this sort of kind of very staunchly libertarian ticket,
exactly.
Stick out.
And the fact that these guys running El Sol presented, you know, their own documents saying that they had a legal right. You know, they claim they really had a legal right under their own laws that were there before American laws. You know, and I think it's something that the papers can print and say, oh, ha ha, it's funny. But, you know, we are talking about freedom of speech, right? I mean, so it's something that we all have to think about very, very carefully before we decide to pull anyone off the air just because they don't have the proper identification.
And so you've got a couple stories here, a little bit more about freedom of speech and the FCC.
In March, House Commerce Chairman Joe Barton, a Republican of Texas, Telecommunications Subcommittee Chairman Fred Upton, a Republican of Michigan, and the respective committee's ranking Democrats, John Dingell, a Democrat of Michigan, and Ed Markley, a Democrat of Massachusetts, requested that the FCC conduct an inquiry into broadcast violence to be completed and reported on by January 1, 2005. FCC Chairman Michael Powell's staff is now saying that the Commission's Media Bureau will draft a notice of inquiry for review by FCC commissioners soon. The House committee wants the report to address the harm that excessively violent programming does to children. It also wants to know whether it is in the public interest to define programming that would be considered quote-unquote excessively violent, whether it is constitutional to prohibit that programming when children are likely to be viewing, and whether the FCC already has the authority to make that prohibition, or whether it needs Congress to authorize that power for the FCC. And House Commerce Committee Chairman Joe Barton is again saying publicly that he expects that the cable industry will need to comply with broadcast indecency rules in the near future as well. In comments made to American Cable Association on May 19th, Barton said, quote, "It's not something we're going to do right away, but it's an issue that has to come, in my opinion," end quote. He went on to say, quote, "I think we're approaching the time where whatever we apply to the broadcasters in some way, voluntarily or involuntarily, is going to be applied to cable. I know that causes some of you folks heartburn, and it probably should, but you deserve to hear the truth from the chairman of the committee," end quote. Representative Barton has made the claim that because cable and satellite are viewed in more than 90% of U.S. homes, most Americans don't differentiate between over-the-air and cable or satellite. Very interesting.
Yeah, not there, just the TV. Can't tell the difference. You know, I was just in Toronto, Canada for a few days, and I had a chance to watch some television, and the place where I was staying had cable, and you know, once it's past a little later in the evening, they don't seem to differentiate at all between commercial, non-commercial, or broadcast or cable in terms of airing content of various types. I mean, you know, rated R movies are aired relatively uncut, you know, including nudity, including language, which is small warnings interspersed with commercials. And it doesn't seem like Canadians are going too wild, given that the nation has a very, very low crime rate. I believe
the
Toronto crime rate may indeed be lower than Champaign-Urbana's crime rate. They don't seem to get their panties in a bunch as much as we do in the States over indecency and things like that. And so maybe having watched television there and realized that no one, you know, when the nudity came onto television, you know, at like 11 o'clock at night, or when they showed unedited edition of The Sopranos on regular broadcast television, I didn't hear anybody shooting each other there in downtown Toronto. So I don't know what to think anymore.
That brings us to the close of another edition of Media Geek. We'll be back in 1 week with more news about grassroots and independent media and our media environment. In the meantime, you can catch up with independent media news at the Media Geek website, www.mediageek.org. There you can also download and listen to the archive editions of the program in MP3 in the open source Ogg Vorbis format. Media Geek is produced live at the studios of Community Radio WEFT in Champaign, Illinois. Some pre-production happens at the Urbana-Champaign Independent Media Center. Media Geek's producer is Drew Tirico, and I'm Paul Riesmandel. The Media Geek radio show is free to rebroadcast by non-commercial stations for non-profit purposes. Please contact us for permission to excerpt. Email me at paul@mediageek.org. Thanks for tuning in.